to as himself, the Morning Star. So it's taken by all commentators I'm familiar with as meaning that we shall be given the presence of Jesus to enjoy. So when it says to, you shall be given the Morning Star, and then later in the book we're told that Jesus is the Morning Star, that means the gift that we'll receive in eternity is the presence of Jesus. Yep.
Paul?
Yes.
I don't even know how to phrase this question. Just regarding the white robes.
Yes.
Saying, like Revelation, is it 19, says that it stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Mm-hmm. And then in other places in Revelation, it says it's you're covered in the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I just...
Two things to say about apocalyptic genre. One is that images can mean different things. Meaning, so the image is... the imagery is not always meaning the same thing every time it appears throughout the literature. For example, Jesus is referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, right? So lion equals Jesus. Yeah, except for Satan is also described as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. So images in the literature can mean one thing and then can even mean its opposite. You have to pay attention to context. Okay, so that's the first thing to remember. The other thing to remember about apocalyptic literature is that it's famous for mixing its metaphors. So Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he's also the Lamb who was slain. Well, how can you be a lamb and a lion at the same time? Mixing the metaphors. So we just look at the context where each image is used to figure out with certainty what's being meant. Here, when we're talking about white robes for worship, it's just using local temple imagery. To soil your robes is to be barred from the worshiping community, to be barred from the temple, the presence of the Lord. To have a white robe is to belong and to be pure, to be worthy, the word that is used there. Yeah, other questions? That was a good one. Gary, and we still got the mic up here? Always makes me nervous when people are looking at their smartphones and then asking questions. You're not Googling these, are you?
No.
Questions?
No.
Questions to stump
it's
the pastor.
It's easier to look it up in the Bible here. It's in Isaiah 14, verse 12, it says, just following up on my wife's question about the Morning Star, mm-hmm. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Day Star, Son of Dawn, mm-hmm. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in my heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Like, I'm not sure what other translation said, but like I thought it sort of said Morning Star in there. But this seems to be referring to Satan.
Well, keep in mind, in apocalyptic literature, stars almost always stand for angels. I think I said that in week one. So it's, again, in the same way that lion can be used as an image for Satan in one passage and then in another for Jesus, and here, also, we have a star representing Lucifer. And then in Revelation, we have Jesus being referred to as the Morning Star. So, again, two things I guess I would say about that. Number one, images are not consistent throughout the literature. Well, but then I would say, number two, keep in mind that one of the themes that emerges in Revelation is that Satan is an imitator. So he's constantly trying to imitate that which Jesus does, right? And you have this dichotomy all throughout the book of Revelation between those who are of Jesus and those who are of Satan, and it's always mimicry, right? Those who are of Jesus are sealed and given a number. Those who are of the devil are sealed and given a number, right? And we see in Thessalonians where it talks about lying signs and wonders. So the gospel is confirmed with signs and wonders, while the false gospel is confirmed with signs and wonders. That's why signs and wonders are never proof that anyone's on our team. Both teams are using signs and wonders. So how do you test? Against Scripture, right? So again, the devil mimics what's going on, so it's not uncommon to find the same symbols applied to the devil as applied to Jesus. That's just not uncommon. It'd be nice if it was more consistent, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be?
Paul, that's sort of brought out before the Exodus with the Pharaoh when Moses was proving that they should be let go. the Pharaoh had his magicians mimic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Pharaoh was doing his plagues, or was mimicking some of the earlier plagues, and then you got to the point where they could no longer mimic what God was doing, and they said, this is the finger of God, right? Yep. Other questions? Okay. Unless we do have any other questions, any questions? I want to do a little exercise, and we'll just close with this. I want to save us from approaching this literature to satisfy our curiosity about all these ancient and arcane symbols and all that. And instead, I want to approach it the way I think it's meant to be approached, as cause for worship, repentance, and reflection. So I simply want to use these lists as a bit of a reflection exercise. I'm wary of posing a question about the Evangelical Church in North America, because that doesn't mean anything anymore. What is the Evangelical Church in North America? I don't know. Is it the church across the street? Is it a church across town? Who knows? They're all so different now. Evangelicalism used to be like a continent that you could say some things about. Now it's like that continent's been hit by a nuclear bomb, and it's 1,000 islands, and none of them are traveling in the same direction, so it's a wasted conversation. Here, I guess, is what I'd like to do. Let's just limit ourselves to talking about us, our church. Okay? Us. I'd like you to get in groups of no more than 6, no less than 3, and just, you know, we'll spend 7 minutes. We'll divide what we have in half, and then we'll share with each other. 7 minutes. Go through this list of what Jesus affirms in the churches. Just ask the question, how are we doing on this stuff? However you want to evaluate, I don't know whether you want to give us an A, B, C, or D. Because this stuff should all be in our church, theoretically. And then I want you to go over here and say, is there any of this stuff in our church? And to what extent? You know, is there any cold, dead orthodoxy? Any toleration of false teaching or teachers? Any cultural compromise? And then be prepared to share some comments. Okay? So move, hang out in groups.